This is Liz Lavender in conversation with Russell Knowman. What was your first encounter with No Fit State?
It was with Ali, Tim, Tom, and a couple of others who came into the tread to listen to the awful DJ I used to have there to have a drink. That was my first contact with him.
And what did you do? Just explain what you did at that point. What were you? You know, what
Oh, manager. It? I was the manager of the pub.
Of the Tredegar pub.
Yeah.
On
Clifton Street.
Yeah.
In Splott, Cardiff. Yeah. And Ali, I believe, just lived around the corner. So she was quite local. So a lot of them, after practice and whatnot, would come and use my pub. And a great bunch they were. But when I first met them, it was like, oh, hello. How are you? I don't know if they were hotel inspectors or, you know, fire officers, but soon learned they were like the rest of the people in Splott, you know, down to earth, nice people. And really enjoyed their company because they were great people. Most of the boys in the pub liked them as well when they got to know them.
The pub was quite a local pub, wasn't it? A very local pub, local people. It was before the days that pubs were eateries and things like that. It was
It was a very lively pub, to say the least. Impromptu cabaret off the customers every now and again, mainly a Saturday and Sunday night when the poolsides were home. So yeah, it could get a bit lively in there, but there was a lot of boys tend to sort things out for themselves, and the impression that a lot of strangers come in and think, oh my God, what have you walked into? But No Fit State fitted in quite well, actually, because they loved it. They loved all the different personalities in there. They loved all the different types of people, and which is life, isn't it?
Yeah, totally. And so then how did your relationship with No Fit State from then, when they used to come in the pub, develop?
Well, they were... Because they were doing such a good thing in the community, and you could see they were trying out different things, getting the children involved, and they were using local facilities like the halls and the pubs, and that's how they got to know a lot of local people. So I, obviously, being part of the area, if you lend a hand, then it tends to involve other people then, because you integrate them sort of into our area, because they were total strangers to us all, No Fit State. We didn't know, you know, who they were or what they were up to. So when that happened, it was sort of like, yeah, let's help each other out here, you know, and that's progressed from there.
And so how did you help No Fit State out in
have, obviously, the run of the building if they needed an office.
Exactly. So that's where No Fit State had their office from...
'95 to '98, I think. It was for a few years. It was for 3 years. Obviously, my regional manager was questioning why there were so many landlines and computers upstairs, but just told him, well, you know, it's office work. So they got away with it. But, yeah.
Did they have to make themselves scarce sometimes?
No, not at all. I mean, it was... I think the brewery was so glad that the pub was still open and trouble-free. They could just have a free hand there. Like, you know, they weren't concerned as long as there was no trouble there. It was one of these pubs where if you put the wrong person in charge, it'd be chaos. They were quite happy to leave leave us well alone.
And we used to go in by the little side door at the side, didn't we?
Yeah, separate entrance through the old function room. There was an old function room up there, and that was us. They can come and go as they please, and so no one bothered them. Yeah. They want to start at 9... Use a key, go and start at 9. It's not a problem.
Yeah.
So you could have the run of the place because you could trust them. They were dependable people. They were great. Really great people.
Yeah, I can remember going and working in that office and doing a little marketing campaign. It was my first time on a computer. It took forever. Absolute forever.
Dying
typing up. Things in. Typing. So they were centre of the community... Great pub, lots of people there. We use the office upstairs and downstairs in the pub. So then we did the Blue Tent tours. Did you ever see any of the Blue Tent shows? Did you ever come and see any of the shows when we did those?
Absolutely, yeah. I was involved in a couple of the shows as well. I think myself and and you were involved in running the bars, setting them up.
That's right.
Actually making the cocktails that we just made up because we were half steaming. But yes, I think, yeah, I've been to a few. Yeah.
So then there came the community projects, the Prophecy, and now here especially, which were in the warehouses. And I ran the bars for that. I had no idea how to run a bar at that point. So you were invaluable at that time and you really helped out a lot. But what can you remember about what was required of you to
Oh my help God, us what was run required? It was just like this instance of how many people do you think are going to attend? Oh, we've no idea, really. So numbers one sort of in the equation. So it was just sort of think on your feet. Let's get X amount of barrels. If we need some more, we'll go and get some more. So it was like that was the first show. It was sort of like didn't know what to expect. It was diving in deep. Obviously, you never run a bar. I didn't know what the numbers were, and it was just one big setup. But I think it went pretty good. Considering...
And that was in Tremorpha, wasn't it? The first one.
Yeah, Tremorpha.
Yeah.
And then it was Dunball's Road, I think.
Yeah, or Curran Embankment.
Curran Embankment.
Yeah.
And then the one in the castle, Cardiff Castle.
That was immortal.
Yeah, that was the big UFO, wasn't it?
That's it.
Yeah. So it was a hell of a time setting up. It was a lot of time collecting, prepping, making sure that everything was cold and chilled and ice and the little things that went with it as well, let alone building a bar, glasses. And
decor
and ice machines and training the staff and getting change. And
so it was a lot of work. Yeah, there was all that changing.
A lot of work behind the scenes. And I think you all did very well. You adapted very quickly. You had to. It was no choice, was there? You know?
You learned quick.
Very quick, yes, you did.
So we went and blagged a lot of things, didn't we?
People were very helpful.
They were.
Very helpful. Without their contribution, I don't think we could have ever pulled that off.
No.
Very helpful.
And there was a bit of a dodgy mission which involved a certain Stevie K, wasn't there, to go and get all these cans. Because the cans, something happened with the law where you could go and get alcohol cheaply at Bargain Booze in Calais.
Yeah, for personal use.
For personal use. So we invented, well, we used the raffle ticket system, and there they bought a bun and were given a can.
Well, you could actually give away free alcohol. There's no law against that. You can give away alcohol as long as then. At the correct age to consume it, that's fine. But you had to purchase food.
Yeah.
And then we could give them free alcohol.
Yeah.
So
we had somebody, I remember Tom Weersma's missus, was actually making rolls.
The food. Yeah. It's quite legal. Quite legal. Nothing wrong with that.
It wasn't. And then we thought with all these aluminium cans, we might be able to earn a bit of extra cash on the side, didn't we, from selling the aluminium. So we were storing them out the back in a stillage thing. We had quite a number of them at that point.
Yeah, just to say the least, quite a number of them, yes.
Yeah, and... Yeah.
to say the least. We needed more room for those cans than we did for the actual event.
I think it was one of the earliest fans that Mercedes ever did, actually. It came back full to back to front.
You could have made a Mercedes van with all the aluminium we had.
But then somebody nicked them all, didn't they?
Well, that's Tremorpha for you, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know.
And we had a bit of trouble, didn't we, with
a couple of gypsy lads,
didn't we?
Yeah.
So tell us that story.
Well, they were being nosy as they were, and they'd seen all you guys going into this empty warehouse, setting up your equipment. And as it happened, a few of the Tread boys were security for you chaps to look after the warehouse while it was, while it was empty. Mm. All your equipment's in there. So they decided to come along and they wanted to actually empty the warehouse of some of your stuff. And of course, our boys was politely told them where to go. So it was quite safe there. couple of the chaps from the trade on the door. So thanks to them. Yes, thanks to them.
We weren't ripped off.